A few years ago, I gave a talk to up in Erie. We have a medical school, LECOM. It just opened, I don't know, maybe even 20 years ago. I said, if someone came in and had depression and you start them on an antidepressant and that antidepressant doesn't work, you're going to try another one. And then you're going to try another one. And then you're going to do an add-on and maybe a benzo until they feel good. But with thyroid, you hand them T4 and you go, okay, good luck. See you. We'll check you in 6 months. And it doesn't matter how they're responding to that. They could be feeling horrible, no symptoms changed whatsoever. And you go, sorry, I guess we'll give you more T4. Why are we in the Synthroid box? And then one doc raises his hand and goes, that's all we've learned.
Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed by hormonal fluctuations? Have you been frustrated by being told by your doctor that, well, this is normal for your age or it's expected? Well, while menopause is natural and mandatory, suffering is optional. And I invite you to join me in my exclusive hormone masterclass to unlock the secrets to mastering your hormones. Don't miss out on this life-changing opportunity. There are limited spots available. Enroll now at dranna.com/hormone masterclass. That's dranna.com/hormone masterclass. We talk a lot about thyroid being your weight control hormone. While this is true, if that was the only part of the problem, then everyone on thyroid medicine would be thin and fit, right? But that is not the case. The thyroid is a very complex organ, and it is part of our entire, we call neuroendocrine axis, so hypothalamic, pituitary, thyroid, gonad axis, you know, and adrenal glands. So this, it's a complicated organ, and there are very few people who have specialized in the thyroid gland that really get it. Traditionally, as a physician in training at Emory, those were my endocrinology colleagues. But working with women, especially in a rural clinic that where I came right out of residency, part of a National Health Service Corps, I was the only doctor that my clients would have the opportunity to see. So addressing head to toe became a part of my practice. And addressing the thyroid, as I saw so many women with thyroid disease, either mostly, I would say over 80 to 90% of them with underactive thyroid or hypothyroidism. And with that, the different forms of thyroid disease, including Hashimoto's thyroiditis or Graves' disease. And when I trained as a physician, as a med student, I rotated in the field of endocrinology at Cooks County Hospital in Chicago. Whew, there's some stories with that one, that's for sure. Cooks County is inner city Chicago. This was in the 1990s, early 1990s, 92 maybe. And as a visiting medical student on rotations, I stayed in the nursing dorms, no air conditioning, plastic over the mattresses in 100 degree heat. And I could hear shots being fired in the distance. And it was very high adrenaline time. Let me just say it was very scary for me coming from rural Pennsylvania, the Northeast, Doylestown, Bucks County area, and feeling like I grew up pretty safe. So being in the inner city was interesting. And then being in the endocrinology clinic, where the attending that I worked with was so good clinically. He was so good. He originally had gotten his medical degree in India and then came to the US and retrained and specialized in endocrinology. But he had such astute clinical skills. And he would see someone walk in the door, be able to visually assess their thyroid gland, and assess how much it weighed, how many grams thyroid, and showed every single clinical symptom that you could see in with thyroid disease and how untreated or undertreated many patients were. And sometimes they would just come to the Cook County and inner city hospital as the first time coming into the clinic or referred by their primary. But things, again, we'll talk about some of these signs and symptoms in today's podcast. What are some physical signs that your thyroid gland is underactive or overactive? You know, what's happening to your eyebrows? What's happening to your reflexes? I mean, there are physical signs and symptoms that give us a clue. And beyond the blood work that we are evaluating. And with that said, we're going to talk about the right type of testing as well as the modes to treatment. Do we use iodine? Do we use Synthroid? Do we use T3 versus T4 or combined glandulars? What is the state of the art in treatment as well? So today, my guest is Dr. Amy Horniman. And I've known Amy for a while through our Mindshare community, and she is definitely a prominent figure in the field of thyroid and hormone optimization. She's known as the Thyroid Fixer. She hosts a globally recognized podcast, and she's founder of the Better Thyroid and Hormone Institute. So Dr. Amy advocates for the principles that better thyroid and hormone health equates to a better life. And that is absolutely true. So I'm excited to bring Dr. Amy Horniman on today to talk about this and her experience with fixing the thyroid. Here we go. Dr. Amy Horniman, welcome to the Girlfriend Doctor Show.
Hey, Anna. Thank you for having me. I love being on here. I love talking to you.
Well, I want you to talk about how you really got interested in fixing the thyroid. You're known as the Thyroid Fixer. So let's talk about a little bit of your story.
You know, like most of us in this space, we've all gone through something that led us to helping others. And my story is no different, pain to purpose story. This started 20 some odd years ago when I was competing in fitness and figure competitions. And for those who don't know what that is, you are basically eating chicken, broccoli, asparagus, and hitting the gym twice a day. So it's very rigorous, very structured. And I had done plenty of these shows before. I had done some fitness modeling that I would diet down for. I'd done plenty of shows. And basically, you want to step on stage lean but muscular. You know, you don't want to diet off your muscle. You want to stay, you know, keep your muscle and just be really lean at a low body fat percent. So I was going through all of my program, my training, my eating, checking in with my coach, like we all do. And every time I would get on, the scale was going up. And I mean 5, 10, 15, ultimately 25 pounds. After I put on 25 pounds, I stopped getting on the scale anymore because it was just depressing at that point. Mm-hmm. And whether you believe in calories out or not, it really biologically doesn't make sense for the body to be laying down fat when you're eating that clean and you're going to the gym twice a day. And let me add, I was in my 20s. So I had a decent metabolism back then, like we all did, right? And it was boggling my mind. I couldn't make sense of it. So I did what we all do. I went to my doctor and I said, here's what's going on. I feel like my body is literally rebelling against me. And I handed him the paper of, this is my diet. This is what I'm eating every day. And here's my workout regimen. You can see it. I'm lifting. I'm doing cardio. I'm stretching. I'm doing all the things, sleeping, the whole deal. They ran some tests, and to this day, oh, and if I could go back and see the test, I would love to see the test. I know we're going to get into testing, but I guarantee you they did not do a thorough thyroid panel.
Right. But probably just a TSH at that time.
Probably just TSH. And then I was told, you're normal. Everything is fine. So I left there, and that was just doctor number one. And I left there and I was frustrated, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a second opinion. So I went to a metabolic specialist, i.e. endocrinologist. And I went in there, same thing, handed them my diet. Here's my symptoms. I'm in my 20s. Come on. Why am I 25 pounds heavier at this point? They look at me and they said, well, you're normal. Everything's fine. Why don't you just eat less and exercise more? There's no way. I mean, I would have to starve myself. I would actually, you know, I would be emaciated if I was truly eating less and exercising more. Of course, I would have taken that at that point. I would have taken anything. I would have taken any diagnosis. I would have taken any guidance, any answer. You could have told me to stand on my head and sing happy birthday if that would have worked, right? Nothing was working. Nothing I was doing was working. 6 doctors later, all of them, and believe me, I have moments of time where I sit back and I think, oh my God, what if I would have stopped at doctor number 4 or even doctor number 5? Because 5 doctors, my gosh, that's a lot. Those are a lot of opinions which at some point, and I do remember being a little bit into self-loathing, self-blaming. You know, I got into that mental cycle like a lot of women do, where you think, you know what, maybe it is me. And we call it medical gaslighting. Maybe it is me. Maybe I'm going crazy. Maybe I do need to just eat less and exercise more. Maybe if I just ran, maybe if I took up, you know, hot yoga. And you go through all these things, these questions, these possibilities in your head, but you really start taking it on yourself. And that's absolutely what I was doing. I was self-blaming. I remember crying in my car. I remember, and I hate to say this out loud, but I remember praying for any diagnosis. Like, I would have taken anything at that point, because it would have been an explanation as to why my body was rebelling.
Yeah, I mean, just looking for an answer, like, help me. I know something's wrong. Like, and bravo for trusting your intuition and second guessing, third guessing, and fifth guessing.
Guessing,
so,
yeah.
You know, and that you cared enough about yourself and you trusted your intuition. I think that's so important for me. I want people to get back to trusting their intuition, to listen, to be able to advocate for ourselves, like we do as a mother for a child. Like, mm-hmm. We're our child's best health advocate, and not forgetting that for ourselves.
That's a really good point, though, as well, because I think we all tend to fight for our loved ones, but then when it comes to ourselves, we fall into that doctors are gods and they know best. And so therefore, if they're telling me that there's nothing wrong, there must be nothing wrong. We do have to be as big of an advocate for ourselves as we would be for our children, 100%. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a great point. Sixth doctor, well, that was still all the same. It was really the seventh doctor that touched my throat, just like we were talking off air, right? Touched my throat and said, swallow. She was the first one that actually laid hands on me and said, oh, you have a nodule on your thyroid. We're going to ultrasound it. And when that came back, she's like, oh, you have Hashimoto's. Here's a pill. So, I mean, naturally, I was pumped up. I had a diagnosis and I had a pill that I thought was going to fix me. And I gave it 5 months and nothing happened. I didn't lose a pound. I didn't feel better. My hair was still thin, falling out. So I went back to her and I did what we all do as well. On my big gateway computer, I Dr. Googled. Mm-hmm. And I was finding these things about thyroid hormones, and there's T4 and there's T3, and T3 is active, and there's these other thyroid hormones too. There's T1, there's T2. Oh, look at this. There's so many thyroid hormones that could help me, but I'm only given T4. So I went back to her and I said, hey, can we maybe change this up? Because you have me on just this one pill and there's other treatments out there that seem to work really well. And she goes, no, I don't do that. And I said, well, I'm going to find somebody who does. And that was the point that led me into functional medicine. I kept hearing the name of this functional medicine. Well, back then it was integrative. I don't think we used the term functional 20 some years ago. Integrative practitioner that helped a lot of people. So I went to him and he sat down with me for 90 minutes, did all of the testing. I mean, I remember I had a book of tests that he was going through, you know, page by page, asking me how I felt, looking at my diet, looking at my supplements. I mean, we spent 90 minutes together. That was insane, right? You go into your doctor, you get 10 minutes.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
If you're lucky. And changed my life. He changed my life. I lost the weight. I felt better. He became my mentor. I mean, I changed careers because of him and because of what I went through, because I was in a major medical system at the time too. Let me mention that. I was in Pittsburgh, which is UPMC, best of the best, just like Mayo Clinic, just like Cleveland Clinic, you know, the best of the best doctors in this major medical system. And I still got the runaround seven different times. So I thought to myself at that point, I'm like, well, if little old me in Pittsburgh, PA in her 20s is getting the runaround by all these doctors, my God, how many more people are there across the United States, in the world, that are dealing with the same misdiagnosis and mistreatment that I was? And that's what changed my career path, essentially, because I wanted to help others not go through the same thing that I went through and actually get help at an earlier stage when the symptoms first come on.
Excellent. I mean, I think that, and talking about those symptoms And, you know, first of all, again, you know, so important to advocate for yourself, and congratulations for doing that. And then let's talk about some of the physical signs and symptoms. You've mentioned them, like the weight gain without doing anything different, the hair loss, the fatigue. What were some of the other, like, what are, that's for hypothyroid. So you had underactive thyroid gland. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of those symptoms. I always look for, like for myself, I look for hypothyroid. That means the TSH will be elevated and the free thyroid hormones will be low. Like again, suboptimal, don't have to be classically abnormal based on the normal lab values. And we'll talk more about that. But like missing of the lateral third of the eyebrow. So I would look for that in all my pigs. I'm looking at their eyes, looking at their facial expression. Where are they getting swelling or, you know, edematous in their body, or where are they storing fat? And then reflexes. I remember being at Cook County in Chicago, and the endocrinologist I was working with did a, you know, was showing me a classic. That woman walked in for her first appointment, a hypothyroidism, and he did for the reflexes, and you would expect a rapid reflex. And it was like, it was in slow motion reflex. It was in, it was very graceful, but it was a very slow motion reflex, and showing me the signs and symptoms, how our, again, our physiology is affecting our ability to move and the physical clinical symptoms that the first six doctors you went to ignored, right? They didn't feel your thyroid. They didn't maybe check your reflexes, evaluate your hair loss or hair growth pattern or absence of it, like loss of hair on your legs. I mean, different symptoms that can be obvious when you're looking for them. We don't, like at Emory University where I trained, there was a saying in the operating room that the eyes don't see what the mind don't know. And so that's why, you guys, we are here today to talk about these things. So now we can see it. We can look for it. And when you know it, you can't unsee it. So, well, usually. So, Amy, what are other some of the common symptoms?
So if we think of hypo, low, and slow, every system in your body starts to slow down when you have hypothyroidism. So constipation, gut motility, the rate at which we move waste through our bowels, that slows down. So constipation is a big one. Brain fog, slow thinking. I've had patients come to me thinking that they have early Alzheimer's. And it's like, no, you just have low thyroid function and not enough T3. So low cognition, low mood, that can even either be depression or anxiety. Then we have just that low energy, that exhaustion where you're looking at the couch at 2 p.m. and thinking, oh, if only I can just lay down and close my eyes, those heavy eyes, that deep exhaustion. So if you think of the body operating low and slow, you'll have low heart rate, intolerance to cold. You'll have low body temperatures. You'll have low blood pressure. So that's another big one, is that oftentimes when my patients, we start them on a treatment protocol and they'll start taking their vital signs and they'll say, oh my gosh, my blood pressure is actually going up. You know, every time I would go to the doctor, they would say, why is your blood pressure so low? Or why is your heart rate so low? And I always tell them, you know, it's not because you're Lance Armstrong and you're some, you know, pro athlete that has a low resting heart rate. You are hypo, low, and slow. And your heart rate is actually low and slow. So when we bring them up out of that hypo state, some people will think that their heart's racing. And I'll say, okay, what's your resting heart rate? They're like, it's 65. I'm like, okay, so you're normal now. Instead of being 50, you have a resting heart rate of 65. So everything just slows down. If you think about the whole body slowing down, that's hypothyroidism.
Yeah, I like that. I like that analogy. And, you know, again, addressing the constipation, the GI symptoms, the brain fog, the moodiness, moving slower throughout your day. Yeah. So that's the hypothyroid. And then, you know, what about with Hashimoto's?
The different symptoms, you mean?
Yeah.
You know, they cross over. I really don't treat Hashimoto's differently than I would treat non-Hashimoto's thyroiditis, because we're still looking at the symptoms, how they feel, how the patient feels, and what their labs are. And ultimately, that active thyroid hormone, free T3, and we want to look at the anti-thyroid hormone, reverse T3. Now, we will always, always check antibodies. So if antibodies are present and we know someone has Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune form of hypothyroidism, then we know that we have to do a couple other lifestyle interventions, but those lifestyle interventions are things that I would recommend to everyone anyways. Going gluten-free, reducing your stress, you know, doing meditation, taking something like black cumin seed oil to reduce inflammation. So those are all the, and to reduce antibodies. Those are all the protocols that we would put someone on with Hashimoto's. But at the end of the day, the thyroid treatment that we do would be the same either way. And really oftentimes, I'm sure you see this as well with your patients, Anna, is we'll see patients come in and they've had their TPO and TGA antibodies tested. And let's say, I'm just going to use a hypothetical because the range is different on every lab. Let's say one range shows TPO, the standard lab value range is less than 34, but you come in with TPO of 20. Do we say, oh, no, you're good. You don't have Hashimoto's because it's not over that 34 mark. Mm-mm. You still have, you're in the beginning stages of Hashimoto's. And if you think of those antibodies as soldiers that like to go out and attack your thyroid, that kind of puts a little bit of a better picture in your mind because you have 20 soldiers that are going out and attacking your thyroid. Are we going to wait until you have 35 soldiers to officially say, congratulations, you have Hashimoto's? No, we're going to treat it as if you have Hashimoto's right now. We want to take those soldiers down to zero. We don't want them to build a full army. So when we're looking at the antibodies, we want to address any antibodies as a potential Hashimoto's situation.
Yeah, no, I love it. And then the opposite is Graves' disease. That's when the TSH is driven down. You're pouring out thyroid hormone in abundance, and it can actually get into a thyroid storm. Graves' disease, on physical exam, you see the bugging eyes, like, you know, the eyes, frog eyes or bulging eyes, more wide open eyes, and nervousness, anxiety, usually very thin and very busy, anxious, moving, difficulty sleeping. And that's dangerous. That's thyroid storms, the other end of the spectrum. So with this conversation, just focusing on the hypothyroid and Hashimoto's. So we touched on testing. So for me, you can tell me if I'm doing this right, Amy. It's I do a TSH, so thyroid stimulating hormone, a free T3, a free T4, a reverse T3, and antithyroglobulin antibodies, as well as thyroid peroxidase antibodies. And that's usually my initial screen. I may look for other things when suspicions arise, but that's pretty much my core thyroid. On everyone who comes in, I'm looking at those values.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I look at as well.
Perfect.
Yep. Yep. Good. And just like you said, then you can move into looking at hormones and looking at insulin and all of those other markers that can coincide with hypothyroidism, but also mimic the same symptoms as hypothyroidism. So if you're gaining weight, you can't lose weight. Absolutely. It could be your thyroid. It could be low free T3. It could be elevated reverse T3. It could be high insulin, which I often see go hand in hand with hypothyroidism, or your hormones could be off. So there's a variety of different markers that we look at to pair it up with that question of how do you feel and what your symptoms are. But absolutely, we always start with thyroid and run that full panel.
And then what's so exciting is in this talking with you is like how to treat it now. Like, okay, we're looking at hypothyroid diagnosis or subclinical hypothyroid, which we may say. So, you know, what's your first steps in treating it?
You know, the thyroid is very nuanced. And it's funny because I know you can chime in on this. In med school, doctors are taught that if TSH is elevated above whatever the standard lab value range cutoff is, right now it's 4.5, right? If it is elevated, then you give Synthroid. And that was the little pill that I got that didn't work. T4 only. And that really is the standard of care. When you break down thyroid treatment, it is so much more than that. It is so nuanced. It is so personalized. A few years ago, I gave a talk to up in Erie. We have a medical school, LECOM. It just opened, I don't know, maybe even 20 years ago. And I gave a talk to the integrative wellness doctors that kind of branched off of LECOM and started their own practice and wanted to practice integrative medicine. And we talked about, number one, testing. Why isn't reverse T3 tested all the time? Because it's a marker of really inflammation in the body and your body being in survival mode and you're not converting properly. And then the other topic was, why are you in the Synthroid box, like I call it? I say, if someone came in and had depression and you start them on an antidepressant and that antidepressant doesn't work, you're going to try another one. And then you're going to try another one. And then you're going to do an add-on and maybe a benzo until they feel good. But with thyroid, you hand them T4 and you go, okay, good luck. See you. We'll check you in 6 months. And it doesn't matter how they're responding to that. They could be feeling horrible, no symptoms change whatsoever. And you go, sorry, I guess we'll give you more T4. Why are we in the Synthroid box? And then one doc raises his hand and goes, that's all we've learned. So I think we have to break out and really treat thyroid treatment as individual, as well as we treat depression, which is often a band-aid anyways to a thyroid or hormone problem. So when we're doing thyroid treatment on a person, first we have to look at, are they coming into the practice already on T4 only? T4 only works in 2% of the population. 98% of us with hypothyroidism need a blend of T4 and T3 or T3 only. And really, quite honestly, and that 2%, I even question, like, those people that are saying that it's working, are they really feeling good? You know, or right. Are they carrying an extra 50 pounds and they're dragging their ass through the day and they think that's normal? So even that 2% I question, but let's just go with that stat. So a person comes in and they're on T4 only, they're not feeling well. Well, we know we have to add in T3, but we don't know what to do with that T4 yet. Let's look at the reverse T3. How are they converting that T4 that they've been given? If the reverse T3 is under a 12, then I'll say, okay, let's leave you on that T4 dose, whatever it is, because you're converting that. But over here, your free T3 is still low and you're loaded down with symptoms. So then we might add in some T3 to bring up the free T3. If someone comes in with a reverse above a 12 and they're just having all these issues converting that T4, let's drop the T4 dose, look for what might be pushing up the reverse T3, like elevated insulin, estrogen dominance, whatever that is. And then let's also add in some T3. Now we might do Armour, we might do NP thyroid, we might do a combination of Levo, Synthroid, Tyrosine with lyothyronine, Cytomel, generic, brand. I mean, that's where it becomes very nuanced for each individual as to what they need.
And I think the piece that was missed, certainly all of it was missed in my training other than the TSH, as far as I've had to learn this as I go, but the reverse T3 and really understanding that reverse T3, and I always look at it as a dial. You know, you want it somewhere, there's a sweet spot, right? There's a sweet spot. And when that reverse T3 is high, and if you're revving that up with T4 or T3 prescriptions, you know, you're going to get a very anxious individual and can be, you know, sicker. So looking at the breakdown, where these hormones are going, it's critical. So I want our listeners to make sure you've written that down and then to advocate for yourself for this testing to make sure. And then again, why is it low? Why is the thyroid low? What's going on? Is it candida? Is it yeast? Is it cortisol, stress? Is it toxins, endocrine disruptors? What's happening to our thyroid? Before Amy and I started recording today, I was telling Amy about examining patients at least once a week or once every other week. I am feeling thyroid nodules on my patient, undiagnosed thyroid nodules. And one young woman, 26 years old, had come to see me for weight loss resistance and PMS symptoms. And I looked at her, I'm like, you know, I could see the goiter. And she said, well, yeah, I'd been to an endocrinologist and I had this workup, that workup. And they never, I don't think they ever touch. A goiter means an enlarged thyroid. So I don't think they actually ever touched or palpated a thyroid, but I felt nodules and we're following those nodules right now. And as we work with her and within the system of working with her endocrinologist. So that's really challenging. And it's hard to watch the current standard of care play out in people's lives. So guys, that's why I'm bringing you this. I want you to advocate for yourself. I want you to understand what you can do to feel empowered in this process. It goes beyond a prescription. There's the lifestyle factors, there's the toxins, there's the hormone disruptors that we have to clear up and to regulate as we address this. And then there's the other really important piece of iodine. You know, do we iodine or do we not iodine? Amy, what are your thoughts around iodine? So I just to say, like when we talk about T4, it's 4 iodine molecules. T3 is 3 iodine molecules. And iodine is important for every hormone receptor in our body to work.
Absolutely. And isn't it funny that our functional world is really split down the middle, yeah, where you have 50%, I guess I'll say 50%. Maybe it's more like 40% over here saying, no, don't use iodine. And then 60% are saying, absolutely, let's use iodine the right way. So I'm over in the 60%. I'm a Dr. David Brownstein fan. When you look at the research, when you look at the data, every single cell in your body needs iodine. And the thyroid needs iodine to convert T4 to T3. So T4 is inactive and T3 is active. The cells in your body have a receptor site on them for T3. They do not have a receptor site on them for T4. So T4 has to become T3. It has to lose an iodine atom. So we need iodine to have that conversion happen. Reverse T3, elevated, a big cause of elevated reverse T3 is low iodine. I'm a huge fan of it used properly. Now, I think it got a bad rap years ago when certain practitioners were using very high doses right out of the gate.
50 milligrams, right.
50 to 100, absolutely. Yeah. And it was sending people into a thyroid storm and they were becoming hyper. And that's where we saw kind of like the community, our functional community, integrative community, start to poo iodine. But again, if you step back and look at the research, it is so, so beneficial. And if you do it properly, I always tell my patients this, as you're titrating up your iodine dose, we always go low and slow, super low and slow, working your way up. You will know the day that you take too much iodine for yourself, because that day you will feel like you drank too much coffee. You'll be a little bit on the hyper side. You might be a little shaky. You might be a little anxious, but guess what? It's going to go away. So if you hit that mark and you're like, whoa, okay, those 10 drops were just way too much, go back down to the last dose that you took. I like using liquid iodine because you can titrate better and more slowly.
That makes sense.
So I said, go back to the last dose that you were on where you felt good, because iodine should actually, and I've heard this from patients, they feel like the lights turned on even before their thyroid is optimized. We might still be working on optimizing thyroid, optimizing hormones, but they start taking iodine. They're like, you know what? I've had great energy today. And I kind of feel like the lights turned on in my head and I'm feeling more alive. So I personally am a huge fan of iodine when used correctly.
Yeah. And I think that's the caveat. And you're going to watch those thyroid antibodies. You're going to watch the thyroid antibodies and see what's happening. And following that client, you know, my upcoming Magic Menopause 2.0, I'm relaunching my Magic Menopause, but things I've done for years is have my clients do their basal body temperature. And I had a veteran, Kathleen, who had started in, I think, Magic Menopause the second year and then had followed all the way since. And she said, you know, she monitored her basal body temperature. And as she healed it, not with like through diet, nutrition, lifestyle factors, removing food sensitivities, her basal body temperature. So in other words, the first temperature taken before you get out of bed, before you get up, we used to use thermometers. Now you can't even find the mercury thermometers anymore, very hard to. So however you're taking your temperature, and just monitor that. But she actually increased her basal temperature 2 degrees, and she's in her 60s. I'm like, that's metabolism. That's amazing. That's mitochondria. Right. I'm like, it's a fabulous to watch. And it's, you self-monitor, you self-assess. Mm-hmm. And so and especially if we're titering up with iodine, working with a provider that knows, understands the nuances that are involved in, and it's critical. Fibrocystic breast, ovarian cysts, like my, you know, first line of preferred treatment is with iodine supplementation. And we can monitor these things. Do you test for iodine levels, Amy?
I test serum iodine at baseline. And 99% of the time, if you're not taking it, you're going to be low. So that's where I test at baseline. But then after they start taking iodine, the serum tests are always going to come back flagged high. Now, I know there's huge controversy as to how to properly test iodine. You hear about the provocation method where you're taking iodine and you're catching urine for 24 hours and seeing how much you excrete. There's the skin test that people will talk about, which everything I've heard on the skin test is totally inaccurate. But then I was interviewing.
But it's kind of fun to do. So when we talk about the skin test, you think of a pale area of your body and you put a drop of iodine and just measure the time it takes to completely be absorbed into your body. It's fascinating. And if you're starting with that, check it at, you know, the first day you do iodine, put it on your skin. You can do it on the breast tissue or other areas, so pale skin, and just note the amount of time till it's completely, you know, dissolved. And then in a month or two later, do it again on your skin. I mean, it's kind of cool.
That's true. I mean, you could do it just as a comparison tool.
Yeah.
So I should do it now that I've been taking iodine religiously for months and months every single day. I just do it right before my coffee so I don't forget. And I really believe it also helps with viral infections. So with the amount that we travel, always on planes, interacting with people, I'm always taking my iodine just to keep my immune system up. And knock on wood, I have not gotten sick in probably a couple of years. So it's doing something. But no, that is a great way to just see, you know, how fast you are absorbing it. But is it completely accurate? I don't know. I interviewed a guest on my podcast who did HTMA testing. And I asked him, do you have iodine on your HTMA test? And he paused and he said, you know, no, we don't, because every cell in the body needs it. So why don't we just take it? And that quote stuck with me forever. I mean, now I keep repeating it because it's just true. You stop and you go, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, why are we diving into which test is best and should we test and just take it?
Yeah. But we do want to be careful with it too. And that's not all iodines are created equal. And so keeping, you know, working with a functional provider, it's just critical to maintaining. And also side effect of taking iodine, iodine's going to kick out bromine and chlorine. So sometimes people will break out and they don't like that.
Yeah. It's a detox because those halides, chlorine, bromide, fluoride that we've all been exposed to. I mean, we all did the little pink pill in our mouth with the fluoride treatment when we were little. We've all been walking on a golf course, sitting on furniture. God forbid you ever drank a Mountain Dew, but that has bromide in it. Sitting in a hot tub. I mean, we are exposed to these chemicals on a daily basis. And again, short of having a whole house reverse osmosis water filtration system, you're also being exposed to chlorine.
Yep.
So those three halides are very, very toxic to the thyroid. I mean, they're toxic to our whole body, but they're very toxic to the thyroid. So the beauty of iodine is that it will push out those toxic halides from your body and help you to detox from that because they're essentially battling for a spot on your cells. Mm-hmm. That same receptor site that's open for iodine can also connect with those toxic halides. So when you have enough iodine, it's pushing those halides off the cell and iodine is connecting to the receptor site to do the job rather than toxins.
I love it. Yeah, no, absolutely. And then it affects many areas, hormones, hot flashes, immune system. And it is, you know, iodine is essential for the hormone receptor sites and for all of our body. So I haven't taken it every day. Maybe I need to revisit how I'm taking it, but sometimes I will incorporate it definitely if I'm traveling and exposing myself to any radiation through flying or whatever, just to boost my immune system. And I do sneak it into my daughter's supplements periodically. So it's just important to be aware of how we can empower our body. Amy, you know, I can talk with you about this forever. So Dr. Amy Horniman, please tell our audience how they can connect with you and learn more from you and what you provide.
Absolutely. So if you want to dive more into all things thyroid hormone related, Dr. Anna's been on my podcast multiple times. Go to the Thyroid Fixer podcast, dive into all those episodes because you'll learn a ton. And then if you want to connect in any other way, I'm on all social platforms at Dr. Amy Horniman. And you can go to dramyhorniman.com, check out my website, my blog, book a free call if you're interested in working together and checking out your thyroid and your hormones and seeing what we can do for you. We do prescribe to all 50 states, so we got you covered. If you're stuck on T4 only like I was and you're not feeling well, we can definitely help you with that.
That is awesome, you guys. So dramyhorniman.com, we'll put the links in the show notes. And I want to thank you all for listening in today and to share this podcast. There's so much information here that's still not part of standard medical education. I had to learn it the hard way. Dr. Amy had to learn it the hard way. And so I want you to feel this empowerment and share this information share this podcast, and come back to my website at dranna.com. Ask me any questions you have, and we'll help you get and take your next right step. Thank y'all for being here. Till next time.